The Predators with a really tough test tonight against the Boston Bruins. Here to discuss is Elliot Friedman. Elliot, we appreciate you for joining us. But before we get into the Predators matchup tonight, I wanted to touch on something that you had mentioned. And if you were David Poile, you would hold on to Matthias Ekholm and Alex Carrier, and you would sell Dante Fabro. Now, Ekholm is one contract that I look to say, okay, the Predators want to take some money off the books. That's one guy that I would consider trading. Why would you hold on to Ekholm, one, and trade Fabro, two?
Well, the thing about Ekholm to me is, like, first of all, Kellen, it all depends on what offer you get. Like, if you get blown away on an offer by a certain player, sometimes you just have to say, well, I wasn't expecting that. I got it, and I'm making the move. So it's all, like, if you get blown away for Ekholm, then I think you have to do it. But all things being equal, here's what I think about Ekholm. I think he's a huge part of your team. I think that he's still a very, very useful player. I think that if you trade him, you're going to be looking. There'll be times next year, as soon as next year, where you'll be saying, boy, I wish we had Ekholm here. And, you know, I just think, like, that you're putting a hole in your lineup that is going to be hard to fix. Those kinds of players are hard to find. So unless for some reason Ekholm wants to leave, or you really feel he's the guy you have to move, I think you're creating a problem that you're eventually going to have to fix. Unless you guys think there's somebody there that can take his job and his role over right away, I wouldn't be looking to do that.
Elliot Friedman is with us, and I hear you totally. And that's kind of the difficult balance when you go into the trade deadline is we don't want to create more problems for ourselves that we already have. I just view the Predators and where they're at, and there might need to be some uncomfortable moves that are made considering the salary cap and how many holes this roster may have moving forward.
Yeah, you know, I'm not going to – I see your perspective, like I completely do. I think that one of the things that we have, though, and we all fall into this trap as media members, is we just like to make trades and we like to, okay, well, we're not a contender anymore. Let's just get rid of this guy. And number one, you have to have a move that makes sense. Like, I don't think you should ever be looking to say, well, you know, we're not a contender before and right now. Let's just move Ekholm. No, I think you have to have a trade that makes sense. You have to be able to look at the return and say, if we're giving up a guy who's a career-long Predator, who's a really important player in our room and on our team and in our community, you better have a good reason for doing it. That's number one. Number two, I think you have to be able to say, even if you're taking a little bit of a step back, what are you losing around your organization by losing this player? You're looking at somebody who cares probably about the team more than someone you'd bring in from outside. You're losing somebody who plays a big role in your organization. And even though they're getting a little bit older, still plays a very big role in your organization. And secondly, if you're talking about a long rebuild, that's one thing. But if you're looking at talking about retooling, maybe taking a year or two and then trying to get back, I'll tell you this. You're going to be looking at that spot on your blue line and saying, boy, I wish we had Ekholm here. Like I do think, Carolyn, the Predators have weighed this. I'm not convinced they're trading him. I'm not. I think that have they looked around? Yes. I think teams look at everybody. Am I 100% convinced he's going out the door? My answer is no, definitely not no. And I think that this is I would bet you they know exactly what the market is like out there. And if they don't like what they see, they're not going to do it just for the hell of it.
So with that being said, Elliot, how do they then become a better team or a more explosive team? If you're looking at their roster and you have these contracts and, you know, people that you can't move, do you rely more heavy on your prospects rather than trying to make trades?
Well, the one thing, first of all, Derek, I think you look and see, okay, who on our team are we not trading? Well, you're not trading the goalie, and you're not trading Roman Josi, and you guys, and you're not trading Forsberg. So you tell me who else on that team you're not trading. That's number one. Number two, like, David Poile's been doing this for a long, long time. He, the line I used to use is he's been doing it since before the cavemen invented fire. He knows exactly how to establish a market. I guarantee you that one thing he's doing right now, from the moment he said the other day that we're not a buyer, and I'm sure it was even before that, he is out there right now and he is finding out what all of his players are worth. He's calling around. He's saying, what do you think about this guy? What do you think about that guy? You know, what exactly is going on here? And I think that's exactly what he's doing. And so, number one, I think he's going to see if he can add futures or things that he can use to draft and develop players. Number two, I think the other thing is, I have no, like, I saw that that Tomasino got called up. He's going to be looking, or Tomasino got called up. I think he's going to be looking at the young players. Look, he's, you know, you've gone out of your way this year to make sure that you find out what Cody Glass is. I think there's going to be a ton of young, I would say a ton, but I think there's going to be a desire to find out what do we have in our organization. What can we depend on for next year? And the other thing is, Derek, you make sure you're in the lottery so you get a shot at as high a pick as possible.
We're talking to Elliot Friedman, 32 Thoughts. And Elliot, I've heard you and Jeff on your podcast talk about Boston and how they have risen back up to the top. They've been the hands-down best team record-wise this year. They've been dominant. And it's interesting to look back. They lost in the first round of the playoffs last year. They have mostly... Yeah. The same team. They went and brought back David Krejci, who's an aging player. People, like, they were sort of in a little bit of turmoil. Wouldn't it fair to say in the offseason they changed coaches? And here they are. It's all come together. And one thing you guys touched on is with Krejci and Bergeron, you have some upper 30-year-old players who have been really productive for extremely team-friendly contracts. That has really helped them rise to the top, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. Like one of the things that I really find with them is, like, I think the best teams in sports, they don't need, I mean, you need to be coached, but you don't need your coach to establish the dressing room culture of what you expect of yourselves. And, like, you know, the Boston Bruins, from the days that, like, guys like Chara and Bergeron ran that team, like, everybody who gets in there, they are basically told, this is what we expect of you, and this is, and if you don't get with the program, you're not going to be here. But they don't do it in kind of like an asshole way. They do it in a way that, like, one of the things that Chara talked about was they don't use the phrase rookie. They use first-year player. Like, you're welcomed and you're invited, but you're also told there's a standard that you have to live up to. And I just think that it really works there. I think the best teams are like that. You don't need a coach. You need a coach to help you. You need a coach to help you improve your skills. But you don't need a coach to tell you what you need to do. And I think that's one of the reasons they're as good as they are. I think Boston's in a really fascinating spot. They have the best team in the league this year. They're weighing what they need to add versus do we want to screw around with our chemistry? And I'm fascinated to see what they do. There's a defenseman in Columbus, Gavrikov. I think we're getting close to a move there, and I think he's interested in them, and they're interested in him. We'll see what happens in this situation.
As all the Predator fans know, that the Predators had the dreaded loss to Arizona, who's been actually fairly scrappy, winning some games, almost winning too many for their liking here recently. But they made the move to sit out their best trade piece, which is the saga that seems to never end in Jacob Chikrin. But what are you hearing there? It's got to come to a conclusion soon, doesn't it?
Well, I sure hope so.
How many nights of sleep have you missed trying to figure out what's going on with him over the years?
Too many. It's crazy, really. I think the thing is here is that nobody dislikes the optics of this. As you said, Willie, like, Arizona's playing hard. They have points in seven straight games. But nobody, like, he's now missed three games since they said they'd sit him out. And generally, you know, if when you, when this happens, maybe you miss a game. Like, it's right there. It's very rare that a player is sat out this long without the player leaving the team on his own. Now, I'm under the impression that Chychrun is okay with this. He's suffered a lot of injuries before, and they're bubble wrapping him to make sure that it doesn't happen again. His trade value will never be higher. He's had an excellent year, and I think one of the problems is, I think other people look at it like this is not something that we want to create. And like I said, like you said, Arizona's played really well, but they're playing a lot of teams that are either right on the playoff bubble or they're trying to get seeding. And I think people are really uncomfortable with this. They don't like it for competitive balance reasons.
Last thing for you. The Minnesota Wild in particular, but also the Calgary Flames, those are the two teams that Nashville, if they have aspirations of making the playoffs, they've got to pass both teams. It's been interesting. Yeah. Minnesota has struggled here, and they've really had a chance to maybe put the dagger in the Predators, but they've come up short here. What are you seeing in particular in Minnesota? Nashville goes there on Sunday for a huge head-to-head.
They can't score at 5-on-5. Like, if you look at Minnesota, they have some really talented players, but, you know, one of the issues is he's been looking for a score all year long, and they're just not potent enough. They don't, like, this is a league where you have to win down the middle, on the blue line, and in goal. And at times this year, they've had good goaltending. They have a pretty good defense, but they're not as strong as a lot of the Western Conference down the middle. And they have real difficulty scoring at 5-on-5. And you can win in this league with a really good power play, but if you really want to win when it matters, you got to score 5-on-5. And they just don't do enough of it.
Last one for you, Elliot. Willie mentions a key matchup on Sunday against the Wild. And look at the next 4 days for the Predators. You got the Bruins tonight, the Panthers on Saturday, and then, of course, the Wild on Sunday. Really key and important 4 days for the Predators. If those 4 days go badly, is John Hines on the hot seat?
You know, the only thing I would say, like I think when you're in a situation like this, Carolyn, nobody feels comfortable. Nobody does. Look, like, the toughest thing to do in sports is go backwards. Last year, you guys had a really good year. You got into the playoffs. Unfortunately, Saros got hurt, and that led to a pretty lopsided series. But you guys earned your playoff berth last year. Earned it. The toughest thing in sports is to go backwards, because now everybody's asked the same questions and feels the same way that you're asking me right now. It feels like a failure. It feels like a step back. So I think everybody in Nashville right now probably feels uncomfortable. I think for me, the question is, like, do they just wait out the season and talk about changes then, or do they do anything in season? I'm not sure it makes any sense to do anything in season.
Elliot Friedman, appreciate you for joining us. We'll chat with you next week.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend.